Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing? I notice every time that I open the show and I start yelling that you just have to turn that mic down. It's just a little too loud for Robbie Stanley, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's on me, though. I mean, I got to anticipate the booming Robbie Stanley voice. But, yeah, it's a check the levels. You know, the levels are good. Both sides working.
That's good.
I got my 2012 Pub Crawl t-shirt on.
Nice. Very
and
nice.
It's a 2012 Pub Crawl t-shirt of a 10th anniversary of the Pub Crawl.
Oh, so this is some deep-rooted history.
We're
here
talking some serious Pub Crawling.
Absolutely.
Here.
Wow.
So I'm feeling good. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This shirt's been through a lot, but I mean, I think we'll get through the show.
Hopefully so. Ryan Porth, how are we doing?
Doing fantastic.
I bet you are doing fantastic this morning. Some big news last night in the Ryan Porth household. The Field of Dreams game that we've talked so much about here on the program will involve Porth's beloved Cincinnati Reds next year. The Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds playing at the Field of Dreams in Iowa. Porth, this feels like this is what dreams are made of for you. What a time it is.
Yes, it is.
Did you get a hotel room?
Yeah, have you got your tickets yet?
Well, we have a place to stay in the southern part of Iowa, which is like an hour from Dyersville.
Oh.
So.
Nice. Just an hour away.
Yeah.
What town is that?
Where my entire dad's side of the family's from?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, do you know where DeWitt, Iowa is? It's just north of Davenport.
Okay. I know where Davenport is.
So it's like, I don't know, 15 minutes north.
Okay.
And then Dyersville, the Field of Dreams website. The Field of Dreams.
There probably is
I'm sure they do have a website.
Yeah. Is like, I don't know, hour and a half north.
It's going to be
there.
It's going to be quite a big deal.
Then. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be
there. We can
there,
count
right?
on you being gone then. We can count on you being gone the week of August 11th.
Like, there has never been a sporting event that has come through that has been like, I have absolutely 100% have to be there like it was last night.
Yeah. He'll be there.
Like, I have to be there, right?
Yeah.
Like, with my brother, with my dad, and with my uncle.
Yeah.
And my uncle's a big Cubs fan.
Ooh. Oh, even better.
My uncle
spiced this thing up a little bit.
My uncle and my dad both grew up in Iowa on cornfields at a farm. Big baseball family.
Like, but your dad is a Reds fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Grew up? Did they grow up like uncle Cubs fan, dad Reds fan?
My dad did not grow up as a Reds fan. I think my dad grew up as a Cubs fan. And then once we moved to Cincinnati.
Gotcha.
Made the transition.
Yeah.
That's okay. I like it. Yeah, you got to go, man.
A lot of deep roots on that game. So,
How many times in the next year do we think Porth utters the phrase baseball?
Baseball.
People will come, Ray. The Porths will come, Ray. The Porths will most definitely come.
We'll be in the building. What if Kevin That's Costner awesome. Be there next year with Porth? Be good stuff. Is this going to be an every year thing for Kevin Costner?
Sure.
When that, I mean,
I cannot wait to watch Joey Votto walk out of the cornfields into the outfield.
Yeah. See, Kevin Costner goes the first one. Next year, it'll probably be Timothy Busby, who like, well, I have to get some other guys for the movie.
Come on. And then you could tell him all about how famous he is here on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll grab the mic in, you know, the middle of the field and just go, Ray!
Yeah.
You're bankrupt.
Sell the farm, Ray.
Come on, Ray.
Oh, that's good stuff. It's a good time to be a Cincinnati Reds fan.
They yes,
keep winning
it is.
Games. Joey Votto, 2,000 hits last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not in last night's game, but overall in his career.
That would have been a record.
It would have been a record.
I advise everyone to listen to Joey Votto's press conference. I caught it on Twitter. It's awesome. He talks about how his dog ate his first hit. He gave the ball to his dog.
Yeah.
His dog just
totally
destroyed
chewed that thing
it.
Up.
But it's just, what an interesting dude.
He's always interesting.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to listen to him talk.
A lot of talk about dogs the last couple of days here on the show.
Yep. Joey Votto's spitting one out after he chews up his ball, and Gussie's squeezing one out.
That's right.
Everything was fine last night, by the way.
That's good.
I need to talk about this stuff like at hours that my family isn't listening because I'm starting to become like, you know, persona non grata at home. Pissing everybody off. So I'll just keep it to myself. I need to come up with some Rex rants that aren't about my family.
Yes.
Like the last five Mondays at 7:45 have been about your family.
Like, well, I got something else to tell you guys.
Tell you what the kids did this week. Yeah. I'm trying to embarrass them, you know, for their friends so that they'll be shamed into behaving better, but it's not working out.
It's not going so well.
Going the other direction on you?
It's not really getting worse.
Can it get worse?
Yeah, in some ways. But again, don't bait me into, you know, everything's fine. I love my kids.
That's right.
And dogs, wife, house,
neighborhood.
Extended family, all the uncles on Facebook who say dumb crap, love them too.
Great city of Nolensville.
Yeah. Love That's right. Love all of Nolensville too.
That's right. Joe, how was Tennessee Titans practice last night at Nissan Stadium? The weather looked a little hairy there for a little while. Ended up holding off. Had a nice crowd out at Nissan Stadium last night.
Yeah, close to 7,000 there at the stadium. It was good. I mean, the kids were out, you know, yelling at their favorite players. At first, I was a little concerned. You know, because obviously everybody made a big deal, and Vrabel brought it up last week too. You know, the practice he had in 2018 where they did situational stuff, and fans are like, I want to see Derrick Henry carry the ball. All right, at that time, I was like, I want to see Deion Lewis carry the ball. Whatever. But so at first they did like some walkthrough stuff, and then they were doing kickoff, and I'm like, he's gonna let them see something, right? For a while, I thought it was just going to be stuff like that. Like, oh, gosh. But, yeah, then they did full-speed stuff. They did team stuff. A.J. Brown's out there doing team stuff.
Yeah.
Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan. So it was good. I mean, it was a pretty good – they put on a pretty good show for the fans. I mean, Derrick Henry was out there. Like, you know, he lined up the very first walkthrough play. They handed off to Derrick Henry. So they got to see Derrick Henry in uniform. Julio Jones comes out of the tunnel a few minutes into the practice. You know, and I mean, he gets a – I'm like, why is everybody cheering? Oh, Julio Jones walking out of the tunnel. But there were some interesting sights out there. I mean, Josh Reynolds made some big plays. Chester Rogers made some big plays. You know, Tannehill looked sharp. Larrell Murchison with a couple of PBUs at the line, one of which is picked off by Byer. Both of them Tannehill passes. So you saw a little bit, you know, you saw a lot of the same guys in the same spots. You know, Chris Jackson still holding down that slot corner with the ones. I mean, everybody's just assuming Chris Jackson is, you know, just going to succumb to like Elijah Molden or whatever. But I don't know. He's gotten every rep that I've seen.
Don't underestimate Chris Jackson and don't underestimate Logan Woodside. That's what we've learned so far through Titans training camp.
Yeah, but nobody talks about Chris Jackson.
I know.
Yeah. But, yeah, Logan Woodside looked good out there yesterday. So the fans got to see number five throw it around a little bit too. You know, Elijah Molden was back out there. It was actually one of the best bits of news for them was probably that Christian Fulton was out there. He got beat by Josh Reynolds on the bomb from Tannehill. But actually it was pretty good coverage. That was a good speed versus speed matchup. But – I mean, the fact that he was out there after getting a little bit nicked up in Sunday's practice is good for them. Looks like Molden will be back soon, and, you know, we'll see with Farley. He was out doing some stuff. Caleb Farley out doing some stuff. He doesn't look too far away. Bud Dupree's out there going full speed, nothing on his knees. I mean, he talked afterward. It's purely like, let's just be careful at this point with him. And Lewan, obviously, I mean, he was – pass blocking, you know, in shorts, but he was pass blocking, you know. He's full go. So, I mean, the overall health trend is good. Sam Ficken gets to kick yesterday. Does well. He missed one.
He's 8 of 9. I think the one he missed was 48.
And we're, you know, so
Ficken was kicking.
Ficken was kicking again.
He was kicking, and then he made a longer one after that. But, I mean, he's obviously getting all the reps right now. And we'll see how long that is, but they are going to take everyone today to Florida. The whole crew, hurt, not, superstar, not, they're all going to go.
Well, if you just get Tucker McCann around Tom Brady, get healed up down there a little bit.
That's so true.
That Florida just, sunshine.
Just pour a little bit of water on that injury. You know?
It's going to be amazing.
I mean, he's a busy guy. Like, you can't ask him to do it for everybody, but.
Is it water or is it avocado tequila?
Well, it could be a little bit of a mixture.
Yeah. I thought he would drink Bertles and James wine coolers. Am I wrong?
Maybe so. Did you see the video yesterday of everybody praising Tom Brady for the fourth quarter of a preseason game? He's practicing his snaps on the sideline.
No.
That's what makes him great, man.
No, I did not see that. Looking forward to this week, though.
It's going
to
be great.
There was video of Dylan Raiduns, the last guy on the field.
Yeah.
Last guy on the field, working on his pass set. So.
How did Des Fitzpatrick look yesterday? Obviously, a lot of eyeballs on Des Fitzpatrick right now.
Yeah, there was one play, and I was sitting there with Ben Arthur from the Tennessean, and there was one play where, and I forget who was throwing the ball, but I forget who got the pass breakup too, but it was one of those, he's just doing a crossing pattern, and it's a pass breakup, and he's kind of waiting for the ball, and like Ben's like right there, like you got to go get the ball, like do something. That's what I was like, you know what, he should just like get an OPI, like show people you're pissed off,
yeah,
like
just shove people out of the way.
Like he's got a big body, he's athletic, he's just not being aggressive and just not making plays right now. So everybody else is though. Now Josh Reynolds is making plays, so here's another guy. I mean, we talked last week. Gosh, Reynolds hurt, whatever. We got all the clarity on that, but I mean, now if he's going to get past that, you can see the speed. I mean, he can run, and to have like a vertical guy like that who can make plays, and Marcus Johnson is another one of those guys to go with the big two. It's a pretty good combo. It's a little bit better than Khalif Raymond. Although I will continue to respect
you,
Khalif
loved
Raymond.
Khalif Raymond after great last
story.
Year's camp.
Great story.
What depth Titans receiver do you have a closer bond to, Khalif Raymond or NWI?
Well, like so, NWI yesterday, makes a real nice catch on the sideline. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, for all you fans out there who don't know,
good job, Nick.
And so I'm standing like with TD at this point on the sideline, and like all the other idiots. Most of them are not idiots, but like, Kaharski's over there, whatever. I don't mean to single him out. Just saying, all the other media idiots are all over there behind the end zone, and they immediately look at me like, I mean, it's like a thing. He makes a play now, and everyone was like, or if he drops a pass or whatever, like basically his agent, his
publicist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle,
yeah,
uncle putting weird crap on Facebook.
President of the fan club,
yeah, I guess. Because someone told me that they like him, and I was so stunned by what I heard. I wrote a story about it.
Well, and
they've also told me about Marcus Johnson, but no one else was talking about Marcus Johnson. Like, Marcus Johnson, no kidding.
Not to mention, looks like Nick Westbrook-Ikhina in a pretty good spot right now.
It looks that way. It looks that way.
Just saying.
But I can't wait to see who gets cut. I mean, it doesn't add up.
No, it does not add up at all.
I mean, there's something something shocking is going to happen. What?
They're going to keep eight wide receivers.
Yeah. Just go all receiver. I don't know. I think he is safe, too, like Marcus Johnson, the way that they're being used, the way they're not. But I just – how do you cut a fourth-round pick?
I don't know. But doesn't it look like it's
possible,
more and more possible that happens?
Yeah, but then I just keep coming back to, man, they're not going to do that, right?
I don't know, man.
I don't either.
That's really tough decisions.
But Josh Reynolds, last week, Kaharski with the video, yep. And we're watching, like, he's not doing much. What's hurt? He told us what's hurt. He's had multiple injuries. But if he's going to look like he did yesterday moving forward, okay. Now it's between him and Marcus Johnson for the three.
But he did say what was bothering him and what's been ailing him yesterday and made me raise my eyebrows a little bit with concern. How concerned are we about Josh Reynolds as we move forward here? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Still kind of working through some stuff, but like I said, today I felt good. Today was everything was kind of clicking with my body. I was kind of gotten trying to figure out a routine to kind of get stuff figured out down there. As you get older, it gets a little harder to just go out there and run.
That was Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds yesterday after practice at Nissan Stadium. Reynolds back on the field. Obviously has been dealing with an injury and then threw the word Achilles around yesterday, which, Joe Rextra, that caused me to raise my eyebrows. Anytime you hear the word Achilles associated with somebody, that's tough. That could be a really, really bad injury, as we know. Now, obviously, it's not a torn Achilles or anything like that, because he wouldn't be running around if it was. But I guess if you're a Titans fan, you hear that Josh Reynolds may have been battling through some Achilles stuff. How concerning is that? And does that maybe help explain the lack of production or lack of explosiveness that we've seen from Josh Reynolds so far in training camp?
Well, first of all, I like how he's talking about getting older and stuff, like 26. Yeah. And he's also like this big Whataburger guy. Yeah. It's like, dude doesn't have like an ounce of fat on him. 26 years old. Getting older here, guys.
Well, 26 is when I started to feel it a little bit, yeah.
Were you a pro athlete?
No.
Because, I mean, when I was 26, I was not doing pro athlete stuff, you know? But, yeah, that we were talking about that in the press room. It's like, yeah, a little bit of an Achilles. Kind of like, I got this broken back and, you can have an Achilles strain. I mean, I've had like Achilles pain before, you know, which is not comforting.
No.
Like, you do not want to mess around with that. But, yeah, I mean, obviously if he's out there running around and doing everything, and again, he did look explosive yesterday. That looked like the really fast guy they thought they were getting when they signed him. So, I mean, yes, the word brings concern to mind. It's just one of those words. I mean, back, Achilles, trying to think what other things were, you know, obviously knee, but I mean,
knee less stuff. So now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes people have, you know, like the foot stuff where you have a stress fracture after stress fracture, but
sciatica.
That's a sciatica. It can be very tough, yes. But look, if he's working through it and gradually getting better, then I mean that's good news. Apparently, I mean I don't think they're going to let him go out there and do this stuff if there's a big concern. He also, I just asked him just to clarify because I knew it was something upper in the spring and that was coming off shoulder surgery. So he really wasn't hurt during the OTAs and stuff like that. They didn't really clear him. Because I remember he came back late, I think, in the mini camp. And that looked good out there. So the Achilles happened during camp.
Yeah.
The Achilles, I guess, strain would be the word.
Yeah.
Good thing for him and them that it wasn't a little bit more. Because obviously just any sort of tear of that thing and you're done for the year.
And you're talking about a guy that's been extremely durable so far through his career. He's played in 16 games every season that he's been in the league so far. So not missing a game to this point in his career, if you're Josh Reynolds, that's very good. Now, you would think coming into this situation, maybe a little bit more opportunity than he's gotten used to. Although I will say, I mean, 81 targets last year, 52 receptions. Do we think Josh Reynolds could have 81 targets this year? Probably not, would be my guess. It's a lot of throwing the ball with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. You got Derrick Henry in the backfield. So maybe he's not going to get more targets this year. I think that may have been his thought process when he signed here, and he didn't know that Julio Jones was coming around the corner.
Right. It's a one-year – yeah, I mean, it's a one-year kind of, you know, prove-it deal a little bit, and then you hope that then you make yourself more attractive and, you know, maybe the cap situation's better. But, you know, but I mean, yeah, it's interesting because I would say no, and not just because of those two guys, because, again, I really think that he is in a competition with Marcus Johnson at this point. Marcus Johnson didn't do a lot yesterday. Chester Rogers was kind of the other – I mean, there was a beautiful Tannehill, a little drop over the top to Rogers just beating Byard. Just a really fantastic – one of those throw-em-open plays. But Marcus Johnson consistently day in, day out, I think he's making a bid to get some of those targets, to get some of those snaps. I mean, I don't think just because Josh Reynolds now is back and he's running better, all of a sudden, okay, well, here you go. Josh, you're in there. It's you three. No, he was signed. But, again, he was signed for $1.7 million. It's not like it's you have to, like Bud Dupree, you know, paying $16 million, that guy's got to play every snap.
Right.
I mean, it's not like that. I mean, Marcus Johnson – is a legit contender to make plays for this team and matter. And I think Reynolds is too, and that's just going to be very interesting. So it all adds up to, no, I don't think he's going to get 81 targets.
Well,
one way or the other.
But an impressive day, certainly an end to practice yesterday by Josh Reynolds. And Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, discussed after practice Josh Reynolds, him coming back on the field, and just kind of what he's looking for out of Josh Reynolds as they continue on here. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday regarding the new Titans wide receiver, Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I liked about Josh is I don't think he started off the practice very well, and then, you know, he came back and made a huge play at the end. And we talked about, hey, listen, man, you dropped a pass, you know, didn't convert a route or whatever it was early. But this is the first quarter of the game, and it was cool. It was cool to see him come back and hit that shot and hit that play, down the field. So, yeah, I mean, he's working hard, and I think that we'll see some good things from him this week in Tampa.
So that was Mike Vrabel yesterday after practice, and I am interested to see not only with Reynolds but the receiving core as a whole. You're going to get some good work in this week against Tampa Bay. What's this going to look like in terms of who's going to be out there, who's going to be available? How much action is A.J. Brown going to see this week in Tampa Bay? Is there any chance whatsoever that Julio Jones could see some work? He's not been on the field for team periods in a long time at this point. Is there any chance that he could be out there against Tampa Bay? It's going to be interesting to see. And as you pointed out earlier, Vrabel did say everybody going to be making the trip down to Tampa Bay with the Titans this week. So this could be a very interesting practice week for the Titans down against the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yep, two practices, and then they'll play. And Vrabel was asked about Julio, and he was just like, I don't remember how he said it. Like, I don't want to predict that. You know, I don't want to set, and that's, he's big on that, not setting expectations when guys are hurt. Again, I don't think Julio is significantly hurt. He's walking around with nothing on any leg or anything, going on the exercise bike during practice. Pretty minor, whatever it is, but it's also they're not going to come close to risking it. Now, I do think at some point, per our conversation yesterday, it is important to get him out there with Tannehill. Is this the week going against, you know, other DBs from another team and stuff like that? Even just doing like individual and things like that, maybe. But I guess it's like I'll believe it when I see it when he comes back out there. By the way, a Tennesseans got to change it. Their headline says Josh Reynolds is working through an ACL injury.
Oh. I don't think that's it.
Unless it's like Achilles something at CL injury. But no, that's not what it is.
Is the ACL connected to the Achilles at any point? I don't know.
I guess it's all connected, right?
I guess so. Goes back to the famous Barry Trotz on the body injury. His injury is on the body.
On the body.
Thank you, Barry.
That's outstanding.
We appreciate that. Going to have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans following their preseason win against Atlanta. Looking ahead to this weekend against Tampa Bay as well. That coming up at 7 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Get a little bit deeper into Ryan Tannehill. How much pressure is on Ryan Tannehill this year with the weapons he now has on offense? Could Ryan Tannehill be facing more pressure than any other quarterback in the league? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. David Beauclair coming up at 7 o'clock. Talking Titans, we'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they head down to Tampa Bay this week to take on the defending Super Bowl champions. And Joe, I was thinking last night, I was kind of looking around the league, and obviously this time of year, a lot of conversation around the quarterbacks in the NFL and the quarterback battles in camp, and which quarterback has the most to prove this year heading into this NFL season. And look, Tannehill's proven a lot already during his time with the Titans. He's been very good. We know that. We've talked extensively about that here on the show. But as you kind of look around the league and you forecast what this year could look like, the weapons, the plethora of weapons that Tannehill now has at his disposal, we've talked about how Tannehill could probably have the best year of his career statistically and maybe still doesn't get the credit that he probably deserves at this point. How much pressure do you think is on Ryan Tannehill with the weapons that he has, the expectations that are on this team, And when you start to look around the rest of the league, is Ryan Tannehill up there in terms of the quarterbacks that are facing the most pressure heading into this season?
I would say yeah, but also I think it needs to be defined, because I think the absolute cream of the crop in the league is always under – there's just the expectation that Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes – I guess now, are we going to put Josh Allen in there? I don't think he belongs in there, but I mean.
Yeah, I'd hold off on that one.
Yeah, but like the top, those are just expected to be great. You know, they sure. Just have to carry their teams to be great, but they are, so until they aren't, they're probably fine.
Right.
I would say Tannehill, I think he is, if you're talking about pressure because there are a lot of questions, even though I think there's more questions for him than there should be, but. I would put him right there. I mean, the other two quarterbacks who come to mind on that would be Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
And those are the two. You know, obviously Stafford is coming in, and I think he's got a chance to do great things there. But, look, if they don't go to the Super Bowl, or at least have a great year and have a playoff run, then who's going to get blamed? I mean, no one would ever blame Sean McVay for anything.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean Matthew Stafford stands to lose a lot in terms of, you know, like his view around the league. And then, yeah, Lamar Jackson's constantly – I mean, I think until he takes that team to the Super Bowl, there's going to be the, well, that's great. He's a great player and piles up numbers, but can you win in the playoffs with that kind of offense, that kind of quarterback?
Well, I think there's different types of pressure, right? Because, I mean, there are some quarterbacks this year that I think are in danger of maybe losing their job and not being quarterbacks anymore if they don't perform. Like, you know, Daniel Jones, I think, is under a lot of pressure with the New York Giants. He's the guy that they drafted to be their franchise quarterback. It's not really happened to the level that they've hoped for to this point.
And it happens.
He's under pressure, especially in that market, but it's a different kind of pressure. Like Ryan Tannehill is in no danger of losing his starting job this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So the guys like that, I guess you would have to put at the top, right? The guys who are in danger of losing their jobs, which is incredible how fast that happens now in the league. For the young, high pick. I mean, Tua. Everybody's looking
put him
at
in
Tua
there.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, is Tua the guy? And it wasn't that long ago. He might not. We'd just be finding out right now. Drew Locke
looked good the other day in preseason, though.
It's Locke and Bridgewater.
That's right.
in a battle.
It is.
But yeah, Daniel Jones is a good one. I mean, that's a guy who trying to figure out if he's the guy. Trying to think if anybody else really fits that bill.
Cam Newton. I mean, not in the mold of Daniel Jones, but. I mean, he's got a very short leash to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, everybody expects Cam Newton to lose his job by, like, week three. That's
– well.
You got to be perfect.
By week one.
Well, Ryan Porth does say by
you
week
You called one. The shot that Mac Jones will start the season. Yeah, you're not going to be right. But it won't be long, probably. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's under pressure. I mean, I think he's on the downside of his career.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see.
What would you put Aaron Rodgers –
yeah.
Under that umbrella?
I'd put him under that the first thing I talked about, which is you're just expected to be an MVP-level player.
And he's put a lot of that on himself with how he handled everything this offseason.
Well, this year is
it's
Super Bowl or bust for him, right? Because nobody knows what's going to happen after this. Is he going to be the quarterback next year? Are they going to trade him? Is he going to retire? I mean, I think this almost feels like kind of a last dance, quote-unquote, for them. So there is a pressure that comes along with that. Now, the flip side of that, to your point, is how much pressure is there really on guys like Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady when they're just consistently great all the time? Like, obviously, they can handle that.
And not to nitpick, but, like, Brady wasn't great his last year in New England.
Right.
But, I mean, I know no one wants to remember that, but, yeah. But, yes, in general, no doubt. That's the thing with Brady. I mean, at some point, in all seriousness with Brady, at some point it's going to be obvious that he's got to stop playing football.
It could be when he's 52.
Could be. No, it could, I mean, he could absolutely be the next George Blanda. Another guy with pressure would be Jimmy G, for sure. You got the kid there who I don't think Trey Lance is going to really push him this year. I think he'd have to suck to have a real chance to lose his job. I think the plan is, like, take this year with Trey Lance, but you still have a high draft pick. And if you don't perform, regardless of what's happening inside the building, you know what's going to be out happening outside the building. So you're trying to stave that off if you're him. And you're trying to prove that you are a viable starting quarterback in the NFL. Crazy for a guy who got you to within a play of winning it all 2 years ago, but also it was a play he missed.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, there's Dak Prescott, too, right? Coming off the injury last year. He's already hurt again this year in training camp. There's just a natural pressure that comes with being the quarterback of that team anyway. But he just signed a contract. Like, he's got to be a guy that lives up to that money. But I say all this because I was looking around last night at quarterbacks, and I don't know that there's anybody else in the league that's quite like the situation that Tannehill is in, where the upside, at least from a national perspective, I don't think there's a ton of upside there, right? Like, if Dak Prescott plays great this year, he's going to get all the credit in the world. You know, if Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford, if they play great this year, they're going to get all the credit in the world. If Ryan Tannehill plays great this year, here locally, he'll get credit. I mean, we know what Ryan Tannehill is and has been for the Titans. But nationally, like, I can't think of too many other guys where they could go out there and just play lights out this year, and everybody's going to look at three other guys before they look at the quarterback. I think he's in a very unique spot that way.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I do think, again, of Lamar Jackson, like, if he has this great year and everything. I mean, 2 years ago, I mean, they just took the NFL by storm. He was the MVP, and then, the Titans, to a lot of people, exposed what they do. So I could, like Lamar Jackson could have an incredible year this year, and it's still going to be like, yeah, okay, let's see it in the playoffs. I mean, you're one of those people, Porth.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
100%.
There's a lot of people who feel that way. So it's a different kind of, no matter what you do, there's questions, but that's what comes to mind. I think those two guys are a little bit unique in that way.
Have you all mentioned Kirk Cousins?
No, but that's a good one. I mean,
he doesn't have the quarterback in waiting behind him, but I would say
they drafted Kellen Mond. Okay. I mean, did they not?
I mean, yeah, but okay. Do we really consider Kellen Mond the quarterback in waiting?
There's some Vikings fans who do.
Well, okay. I mean, look, Kellen Mond's a good college quarterback. I don't know that I would necessarily predict that he would be a starting NFL quarterback.
But if the Vikings bottom out, he's done there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'll go out in the first round next year and draft who they think is going to be his replacement.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to be good. That's what's interesting, too. Like, I think their defense is going to be better this year.
There's a lot,
but there is definitely. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him. There's no doubt.
But
I absolutely agree.
There's also been some turmoil up there around that team already this season.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if they're really going to be a playoff team this year.
Well, if they're not, then that's. I mean, he's got to at least get them the playoffs. I think they're probably like a 10-7-ish, 11-6 playoff team. But yeah, I mean, if not, then this might be close to the end for Cousins as a starter. And again, he's been good. He just hasn't been up to his contract good.
He is what he is.
Yeah. I mean, he is a guy. I mean, he's Jared Goff. He's good conditions. He'll be accurate all day for you. He'll throw for 350. He's won a playoff game on the road. And Goff has had some big wins too. But any sort of pocket chaos, and it's not good.
Well,
they can't extend plays. They can't freelance like you need to in this league to be great.
Well, and it's interesting with him too. I mean, he's got similar to the Titans, but not quite to the same degree. A lot of weapons at his disposal as well. I mean, you've got Thielen, you've got Justin Jefferson, and you've got Dalvin Cook. I mean, those are three pretty good weapons that you've got offensively. And their offense outside of Dalvin Cook last year sucked. I mean, it was not good.
When you have a bad offensive line, all that stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jefferson was pretty good as a rookie.
Jefferson was great, but like their offense as a whole was not good. So, yeah,
I mean, if you can't block, and that's the problem, is like he's not the quarterback you want behind a questionable offensive line.
Yeah, he's not running for his life anywhere.
Right. He's a good one.
Up.
I mean, Sam Darnold is trying to stay in the league, trying to show he's a starter. He's already been bounced by the Jets. I mean, if you want to talk about rookies with pressure because they just did that, even though I know they're the Jets, Zach Wilson, Like, Justin Fields can come in at some point this year, and he can be up and down and be a rookie, and everybody's going to be like, Justin Fields, greatest quarterback ever, you know.
Including you.
Well, if he can Trevor Lawrence, like, he plays for the Jags, so yes, Justin Fields is going to be great.
Well, if Justin Fields completes a forward pass, he's already in the conversation for the greatest Chicago Bears quarterback of all time.
Yeah, exactly. And Trevor Lawrence, it's just the Jags, and when he'll make some plays, it'll be great. But, like, Zach Wilson, I feel like, even though they're the Jets, I feel like there's a lot of, like, okay, everybody made such a big fuss out of Zach Wilson. You're supposed to be better than Justin Fields, which I don't believe he will be in the long run. So show us something, kid.
Well, that comes with playing in New York.
Also, you have top 100 player Corey Davis catching passes. So, yeah. By golly, you better have a big
By the
year.
Way, the more I thought about it yesterday, how in the world is Corey – how are there only 7 players in the NFL better – how should I phrase this? How are there only 7 players splitting between Ryan Tannehill and Corey Davis? Words are hard.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like, Tannehill at 83, Corey Davis at 91. How are there 7 players separating those two in the NFL, in the mind of the players? It makes no sense.
I'll tell you this, though. And this is one of Robbie's big, big favorite things. Bet you a lot of those guys got blocked by Corey Davis, yeah, huh? Buddy.
Yes, sir.
A blocking receiver. We should not underrate this. This has to be the key to him being in the top 100. Hell of a blocker.
He's a great blocker. He really is.
It's football. It's blocking. It's tackling.
It's catching. It's throwing.
Sure. That's part of it. But if you don't block and tackle, you won't win.
You're correct.
When are they coming out with the rest of that list?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be yesterday.
Yeah, why wasn't it yesterday?
I don't know. Just take a couple days
off,
I guess.
Stupid all around. How much stupid can we have with this list?
Apparently at least a little bit more. We're excited about the rest of that list coming out. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How much pressure is Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill under this season? We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com here in just a few minutes. Turned on the Twitch stream, and there was a nice little shot of Rex Road zipping up his jacket. Good stuff.
It could have gone a lot of ways. Rex Road zipping up his jacket.
Yeah, it was the jacket. No worries.
Glad it wasn't your pants.
Oh, good. Yeah, me too. Thanks, boy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what we were thinking right
there.
There
you go.
Yeah. Talking Titans and Ryan Tannehill. How much pressure is Ryan Tannehill under? Could he be under the most pressure of any other quarterback this season? Taking your thoughts on our text line. Max in Kentucky texting in. What about Jared Goff trying to prove he's more than just the bridge during a rebuild? How about Jared Goff coming into that mighty situation in Detroit saying, you know what?
A mighty team that will not yield.
I am more than just a bridge quarterback. I am the future face of the franchise for the Detroit Lions. What do you think of that?
He plays for the Lions. I mean, will anyone even know that he plays football this year? No. I wouldn't put him high on the pressure list. Well, that's true. I mean, just because Dan Campbell's going to have just an amazing year of
press conferences. I mean, it's must-watch football, I think, this year with the Lions.
Apparently, Dan Campbell screwed something up with the clock, and they lost 16-15 to Buffalo.
You know, I'm shocked by
preseason.
That. Never saw that coming.
The cappuccino ran out on him, man. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I look at Goff as, anybody who's a starting quarterback in this league is
– you're under some degree of pressure.
Yeah, there's some degree of pressure, but honestly, I mean, Jared Goff can be okay, and they can go 4-13 and – okay. Yeah, they are already, I would think, approaching it like he is a bridge quarterback. Right?
Yeah. And you could have had Justin Fields.
Good Lord, Lions. Man.
He's right there.
He let the Bears have him.
Then he goes in the division. Good stuff from the Lions. JP from Spring Hill texting in. Of course, Tannehill's under the most pressure after how he played against the Ravens in the playoffs last year. Can he have big games in the playoffs? As far as Titans players under the most pressure, a question, what other players do you think are under a lot of pressure from the Titans this year? This coming from JP in Spring Hill.
Well, first of all, This will never ever. I mean, until, like, we need to fast forward to the next playoff game because, again, with Tannehill.
Well, it's going to require him throwing for 320 yards and four touchdowns.
Like, look, it is totally fair after he wasn't good enough in that game.
No.
And he could have won that game. Now, it didn't help him that, again, he's having to throw to Khalif Raymond in huge situations, but he also missed A.J. Brown. He wasn't good enough. He was – I don't – if you're going to play box score crap with his two playoff wins, then you're just – again, we go back and watch the games. He was good in those games. He was a winning playoff quarterback in those games. He didn't have huge numbers. Fine. Okay. That end that discussion. As far as the Titans under pressure, I mean, Bud Dupree comes to mind for sure. Well, I mean, Julio Jones comes to mind, and health is really the story there. Is he still Julio Jones? Can he be healthy? If he is healthy, is he Julio Jones? Just keep going in a circle.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, Kevin Byard, I think, would be on the very short list of guys. He's got to be a – I mean, Kevin Byard, I don't think, is going to be in the top 100. So Kevin Byard's got no shortage of – all of a sudden, everybody's out on you after one not great year. But he's paid to be great. So can he be great again?
Well, to that point, Taylor Lewan. I mean, you're coming back from injury, and we've talked about it. Like, if you're John Robinson and the Titans – you've got some cap decisions to make as you come up here. I think this is a big year for Taylor Lewan, not only to come back to get healthy, but to prove that once you are healthy, you're still the same guy. You're still the same player. But really, outside of those three offensively, like, I don't think there's a ton of guys under pressure. Like, is A.J. Brown really under pressure? He's been great the first couple of years. Is Derrick Henry really under pressure? He's been great.
I mean, Rashawn Evans is under pressure.
Yeah.
He's under pressure for his future in the league, not just, like, around here. Can he be – I mean, he's going to be in the league, but his next contract, I think, could be a pretty wide range of things depending on how this year goes.
I feel like Bud Dupree is on a tier of his own in terms of pressure because of how much we've talked about the stupid pass rush for the last 5 years.
Well, and how much he's getting paid, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. But Byard is – see, the thing is, I agree with you on Lewan. But I just watching Lewan, I think if he's healthy, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And frankly, that job is, I mean, really, if you think about it, like, it's actually a more simple job than, like, what Byard is doing. I mean, block your guy, obviously, there's a lot of things you have to deal with, communication on the offensive line, but he's really good at that. It's the same thing over and over. You know, with Byard at safety, I mean, it's, you're a split second late on stuff, you know. And you've got a lot of things you're kind of trying to control the whole defense while making plays and making huge plays. It's not as, you know, it's a situation. There's a few moments every game where, you know, you're really good or not, and it could win or lose a game. Lewan is snap after snap. I just feel like it's harder to be like, I'm going to bounce back and be great at safety this year. Because you are still – you're more dependent on others there than, like, to me, at, like, left tackle, if you're really good.
Yeah. I mean, the left tackle, a lot of times it's, can you block your guy? That's what it is.
Yep. And I mean, that.
Block your guy long enough.
Right. And, of course, coming off the ACL, we don't know, but, I mean, he looks, to me, just like Taylor Lewan right now.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Des Fitzpatrick is under a huge amount of pressure right now.
We don't know if he's on the team this year, so I wouldn't put him in the list. I mean, is he on this team? Is he on a team, on this team, on a practice squad? I think if the Titans could have one exemption for the practice squad where you don't have to expose someone on waivers, they would do it right now with Des Fitzpatrick and say, you know what, really like him. You know, Jared had a, you know, Jared called us yesterday, but he went on a show to, you know, he has people in Louisville, and there's a lot of optimism about Des Fitzpatrick because of who he is as a person. Now, you could look at that both ways. Had an interesting discussion at the practice yesterday. You know, on the one hand, okay, that's what you want. You want someone who, like, you know, is going to work hard and has the right attitude. And again, Des Fitzpatrick talking to him, he loves football. He's a football guy, and that does matter. But at the same time, it's like you could flip that around and say, well, if that's all that's true and that's still what he's doing out there, then does he have any chance?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very early for me to say anyone who's a rookie in this league has no chance. That's extreme, but it's a really interesting question with him. It's a very important. So the pressure on him now, I agree, sure, is huge, is high. But I mean, if he makes the team, you're still never going to see him. He's going to be on special teams. Like, the pressure to like cover a kick well, it's a little different than like, you know, Byard and Tannehill and Bud Dupree.
Third and five. Need a first down. Yeah.
Right.
A little bit different on that thing. Well, to that point, you know, there's a lot of reaction to Dennis Fitzpatrick yesterday. Is he going to be cut? Will the Titans really move on from a fourth-round pick? I don't know that we're at that point yet, but we're not far away. Like, it's time for him to pick it up. And if he doesn't pick it up, that goes back to the discussion we had yesterday. Like, are you really keeping him around on your roster to then maybe not even be used? Like, are you just going to keep a guy on your active roster that you don't feel like can help you right now with this team in this window that they have to win now? We've talked about what the Titans feel like they are. With the Julio Jones acquisition, that tells me they think they're a Super Bowl contender. Are you really keeping a guy that at this moment can't really help you on your active roster?
Well, but now to be fair, they're going to keep Monty Rice this year. What's he going to do? Monty Rice is only helping you if someone gets hurt. Monty Rice, sure, is here and was drafted because next year he probably has a key role, right?
But how many of those guys are you keeping?
Well, right. You can't keep a lot, but that does happen, I think, with every team. You've got some rookies who you invest in and say, well, maybe this year you're not getting a lot, but down the road you will. So it comes down to, do they believe that that's in Des Fitzpatrick? Or at some point, do they see enough where they're like, we missed on this one?
If they stash him on IR, can he practice?
I don't think so, but I'll check on that. That'd be quite a sweet, I mean,
it would
deal.
Make a whole lot
just
of
put
sense.
Everybody on IR.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our own little fake practice squad. I mean, I don't think so.
Okay. That's what I was assuming. Because everybody's saying, well, why don't we just stash him on IR? But how much is he really going to accomplish if he's just sitting on IR?
Right. He's going to local high school running routes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tannehill has free time.
He does. Over there and throw around. Just get over there and start chucking the ball around on your off days to Des Fitzpatrick.
You can go wherever Zach Mettenberger is and play catch with him.
That's true.
There you go.
The Met Show. Bring him back. Why not? When we come back, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they head down to Tampa Bay this week to take on the defending Super Bowl champions. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.